USSEC Division of Corporation Finance Issues, Interpretive Statement on the Regulatory Classification of Certain Stablecoins. On 4 April 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC, through its Division of Corporation Finance, released a statement on stablecoins offering clarity on the legal characterization of certain fiat-backed crypto assets. In its interpretative document titled Statement on Stablecoins, the division articulated that specific types of stablecoins defined as covered stablecoins do not constitute securities under the federal securities laws when issued and redeemed under prescribed conditions. This clarification emerges amidst a broader institutional movement spearheaded by the USSEC's Crypto Task Force, reflecting a growing commitment to bring regulatory precision to crypto asset markets. The statement on stablecoins forms part of the USSEC's evolving efforts to delineate the boundary between financial innovation and statutory obligations under the United States Securities Act of 1933 and the United States Securities Exchange Act of 1934. The USSEC's Division of Corporation Finance explicitly stated that the offer and sale of covered stablecoins do not constitute the offer or sale of a security and are not subject to registration under federal securities laws. Covered stablecoins in this context are stablecoins designed to maintain a one-to-one value peg with the United States dollar or USD, fully backed by low-risk, highly liquid reserve assets and redeemable on demand without limitations. What are stablecoins according to USSEC's division? According to the USSEC, covered stablecoins are crypto assets that maintain a stable value relative to the USD on a one-for-one basis, are redeemable at any time for USD without quantity restrictions, are backed by reserves composed of USD or other low-risk, readily liquid assets, are not designed to generate profits or returns for the holders, do not convey voting rights or financial interest in the issuer, are offered and marketed exclusively as digital means of exchange or value storage, and not as investments. Application of the Reves test. The Reves test provides a rebuttable presumption that notes are securities unless they strongly resemble one of the types of commercial arrangements traditionally excluded from this definition. The USSEC assesses covered stablecoins against the four Reves factors. 1. Motivations of buyer and seller. Buyers purchase covered stablecoins for their stability and attendant use in commercial transactions or as a store of value, not for investment returns, the division notes. Plan of distribution. Although covered stablecoins may be widely distributed, they are not subject to speculative or investment-based trading, but rather stabilized through arbitrage mechanisms. Reasonable expectations of the public. The USSEC highlights that covered stablecoins are not marketed as investments and emphasizes that a reasonable buyer would likely expect that covered stablecoins are not investments. 4. Risk-reducing features. The maintenance of a fully collateralized reserve fund that is neither commingled nor used for discretionary investments mitigates the kind of investor risk typically associated with securities. The USSEC concludes that the cumulative effect of these factors rebuts the presumption that such covered stablecoins are securities. Application of the Howey test. As a precautionary analysis, the USSEC also applies the Howey test, which evaluates whether an arrangement constitutes an investment contract by asking whether there is an investment of money in a common enterprise with a reasonable expectation of profits derived from the efforts of others. The USSEC states that covered stablecoins fail to meet these criteria, noting buyers are motivated to use or consume covered stablecoins as so-called digital dollars, in the same way one would use USD, not to profit from managerial or entrepreneurial efforts. According to reserve structure and transparency, covered stablecoins must be backed by a reserve held in segregated accounts composed of permissible assets such as 1 USD cash and equivalents, United States Treasury securities, registered money market funds. These reserves must not be used for operational purposes, lent, pledged, or subjected to claims from third parties. Some issuers may also publish proof of reserves to affirm one-to-one backing. The US SEC noted the importance of marketing language in determining whether a stablecoin is a security, where such assets are portrayed as digital dollars with no rights to profits, ownership interests, or governance rights, and are not promoted as investment opportunities, the public perception is aligned with their intended commercial use. This statement is a step toward legal certainty in the treatment of payment stablecoins. US SEC's division clarifies that its views are not dispositive and do not override judicial interpretation or future US SEC's action. Each stablecoin must be assessed on a case-by-case basis, considering its structure, redemption mechanism, and marketing. As the Crypto Task Force roundtables continue, this may further rulemaking and harmonization across financial regulatory bodies. Entities issuing or engaging with stablecoins are advised to maintain compliance practices in line with this interpretive guidance to avoid enforcement risks. For inquiries and interpretive assistance, market participants may contact the Division's Office of Chief Counsel via the US SEC's official website. Commissioner Crenshaw warns against misleading stablecoin. Classification, legal, financial, and systemic risks overlooked in US SEC Divison staff statement. On 4th April 2025, Commissioner Caroline A. Crenshaw of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC, issued a pointed critique titled Stablecoins or Risky Business of the Division of Corporation Finance's statement on stablecoin crypto regulation, particularly its classification of certain USD stablecoins as non-securities. Crenshaw challenges the legal basis and factual assumptions and stating as potentially dangerous precedent being set in underestimating risks and overstating investor protections in a market increasingly dependent on intermediaries. Crenshaw's, according to her, these stablecoins are uncollateralized, uninsured, largely inaccessible to retail investors for direct redemption, and susceptible to runs and challenges, the US SEC staff's analysis concluding that certain USD stablecoins are not securities. She argues that the staff's reasoning omits critical risk factors, misrepresents redemption mechanisms, and fails to satisfy the legal standards under the Reeves versus Ernst & Young test. The critique frames the staff's conclusions as legally erroneous, factually incomplete, and systemically harmful. Much of the US SEC staff's analysis is premised on issuer actions that supposedly stabilize price, ensure redeemability, and otherwise reduce risk. Staff also acknowledges, albeit briefly, that some USD stablecoins are available to retail purchasers only through an intermediary and not directly from the issuer. But it is the general rule, not the exception, that these coins are available to the retail public only through intermediaries who sell them on the secondary market, such as crypto trading platforms. Over 90% of USD stablecoins in circulation are distributed in this way. Holders of these coins can redeem them only through the intermediary. If the intermediary is unable or unwilling to redeem the stablecoin, a holder has no contractual recourse against the issuer. The role of intermediaries, particularly unregistered trading platforms, as primary distributors of USD stablecoins, poses a panoply of significant additional risks that US SEC staff does not consider. US SEC staff fails to unpack the consequences of this market structure and how it affects risk. The fact that intermediaries conduct most retail USD stablecoin distribution and redemption significantly diminishes the value of the issuer actions staff relies on as risk-reducing features. Key among these features is an issuer asset reserve that staff describes as designed to satisfy fully their redemption obligations, i.e., with enough assets to pay out a $1 redemption for each outstanding coin. But generally speaking, as described above, issuers have no redemption obligations to retail coin holders. these holders have no interest in or right to access the issuer's reserve. If they redeem coins through an intermediary, they are paid by the intermediary, not from the issuer's reserve. The intermediary is not obligated to redeem a coin for $1 and will instead pay the holder the market price. Retail coin holders therefore do not, as US SEC staff claims, have a right to redemption for USD on a one-for-one basis. It is also grossly inaccurate for US SEC staff to suggest that just because an issuer's reserve is, at some point, somehow valued at or above the par value of its outstanding coins, the issuer has sufficient reserves to satisfy unlimited redemption requests from intermediaries or coin holders at any future time. First, the issuer's overall financial health and solvency cannot be judged by the value of its reserve, which tells us nothing about its liabilities, risk from proprietary financial activities, and so forth. Second, there is always a risk, particularly in times of market stress, or if the price of a stablecoin drops, of a run scenario where intermediaries and/or issuers cannot honor all redemption requests in real time. This leads to a self-reinforcing cycle of redemptions and fire sales of reserve assets. Major run events have already occurred with USD-pegged stablecoins, with significant consequences for the broader stablecoin market and the traditional banking system. US SEC staff further overstates the assurance value of issuer reserves by claiming that some issuers publish reports called proof of reserves that demonstrate that a stablecoin is backed by sufficient reserves. As the United States Securities and Exchange Commission and the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, or PCAOB, have warned, proof of reserve reports demonstrate no such thing. Their content is unregulated, not subject to PCAOB standards, and determined entirely at the issuer's discretion. They are typically not designed to, and often provide no assurance as to the reliability of the information provided. Other regulators have similarly warned of the general lack of transparency and reliability in how stablecoin reserves are invested, managed, and valued. Whatever claims issuers make about their reserves, stablecoin holders have unfortunately learned the hard way that these claims often turn out to be false. Understanding these facts, it becomes clear that as a legal matter, US SEC staff is simply wrong, that the issuer's reserve is a risk-reducing feature under the United States Supreme Court's Reeves test. Risk-reducing features under Reeves include collateralization, insurance, or federal regulatory oversight. Because retail coin holders generally have no right to access the issuer's reserve to guarantee redemption at any price, let alone $1. The reserve does not collateralize stable coins held by the retail public. Without a redemption right against the issuer, a retail stablecoin holder has no claim in a bankruptcy proceeding as an unsecured creditor or otherwise if the issuer becomes insolvent. Just like the product at issue in Revers, USD stablecoins are uncollateralized and uninsured. Even intermediaries responsible for retail redemptions may not be secured creditors of the issuer, meaning they too would have limited or no ability to recover directly from the reserve if the issuer declares bankruptcy. The contractual arrangements between issuers and intermediaries are bespoke and generally non-public, leaving retail coin holders and regulators in the dark. The statement also presents a practical problem. What if any existing stable coins actually meet the stated criteria and fall within the US SEC staff's definition of covered stablecoin? It is hard to even understand what staff's criteria are, because the statement is written as though issuers have redemption obligations directly to retail coin holders, when in general, they do not. For example, staff claims that issuers stabilize the price because they mint and redeem covered stablecoins on a one-for-one basis with USD at any time and in unlimited quantities. But staff fails to explain if or how that occurs in the typical case of a USD stablecoin that is purchased and redeemed by retail holders only through intermediaries. To the extent distribution and redemption affect the retail market price, it is the intermediaries, not the issuers, whose actions matter. What are the practices and obligations of those intermediaries is that information disclosed to the retail public? US SEC staff gives us no idea. These legal and factual flaws in the US SEC staff statement do a real disservice to USD stablecoin holders, and given the central role of stablecoins in the crypto markets, to crypto investors more generally. They feed a dangerous industry narrative about the supposed stability and safety of these products. This is perhaps best highlighted by the staff's choice to parrot a highly misleading marketing term, digital dollar, to describe USD stablecoins. Make no mistake, there is nothing equivalent about the United States dollar and unregulated, privately issued crypto assets that are opaque, clearly even to the staff, uncollateralized, uninsured, and laden with risk at every step of their multi-layer distribution chain. They are risky business. Christina Choi's speech at Hong Kong Web3 Festival, 2025. HK SFC's strategic commitment to Web3 ecosystem. On 7th of April 2025, Miss Christina Choi, Executive Director of Investment Products at the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, or HK SFC, delivered a keynote address titled Fueling the Web3 and Digital Asset Ecosystem in Hong Kong at the Hong Kong Web3 Festival. The speech marks a pivotal moment in articulating the regulator's evolving vision for the region's digital asset future, firmly anchored in pragmatism, regulatory clarity, and investor protection. In her opening remarks, Ms. Choi used a poignant anecdote involving a floppy disk mistaken as a 3D printed save button by her son to illustrate the exponential pace of technological change, a prelude to emphasizing the promise and disruption of Web3. Framing blockchain as the new technological frontier akin to the floppy disk's transformation of data portability, Ms. Choi affirmed that the HK SFC views Web3 not as a fleeting trend, but as a foundational shift in the financial landscape. Ms. Choi reaffirmed that the HK SFC, in alignment with the Hong Kong government's overarching vision, is committed to building a sustainable and globally competitive Web3 ecosystem. This vision, she explained, is grounded not in speculative hype, but in strategic regulation and infrastructure development. The Commission's dual focus lies on virtual asset or VA exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, and tokenization, two pillars it sees as vital to institutionalizing digital finance. Elaborating on Hong Kong's leadership in regulated digital investment, Ms. Choi highlighted the jurisdiction's milestone achievement in becoming the first in Asia to launch VA spot ETFs in April 2024. She noted that Hong Kong currently stands as the largest VA ETF market in the Asia-Pacific region. What sets the HK SFC apart, she added, is its robust regulatory framework mandating licensure of all actors across the VA value chain, fund managers, custodians, and trading platforms. A development announced during her address was the HK SFC's decision to permit staking services for VA spot ETFs through licensed platforms. Ms. Choi clarified that while staking enhances returns for investors by allowing assets to support blockchain protocols, the HK SFC will enforce specific safeguards, including mandated custody and caps on stake proportions. Transitioning to tokenization, Ms. Choi described it as the natural complement to VA ETFs and enabling traditional and real-world assets to be digitized on blockchain infrastructure. She referenced the HK SFC's 2023 circulars, which laid the regulatory groundwork for tokenizing a variety of instruments, including notes, bonds, and even gold. She reported early success in the form of retail tokenized funds, including three new money market funds, the largest debut of its kind among them. Ms. Choi also discussed the HKMA's Project Ensemble, describing it as an innovation sandbox for tokenized money, with the HK SFC co-leading pilots in asset management. She stated that integrating tokenized money into product trading is key to shortening settlement cycles and enhancing fund flows, with insights from ongoing experiments already proving valuable. While the HKSFC is optimistic about expanding into secondary market trading of tokenized assets, Ms. Choi reiterated the HKSFC's core stance. Investor protection is paramount. Keeping in mind the complexity of this next phase, such as unresolved challenges around custody, liquidity, pricing, and order matching in decentralized markets, and affirmed that the HKSFC will proceed with deliberation, ensuring safeguards evolve alongside innovation. Concluding her address, Ms. Choi answered the inevitable question, why Hong Kong? Reaffirming the city's strengths, its common law foundation, financial resilience, and regional centrality, she positioned Hong Kong as the natural choice for Web3 development. She referenced the government's forthcoming VA policy statement 2.0, the HKMA's digital currency explorations, and the HKSFC's recent Aspire roadmap, access, safeguards, products, infrastructure, relationships, as concrete manifestations of coordinated institutional commitment. In closing, Ms. Choi reflected on the convergence of traditional finance and digital innovation, urging all stakeholders to collaboratively pursue the path from 0 to 100. Her remarks not only reflect the HKSFC's position as a forward-thinking regulator, this speech can be taken as the way forward of the HKSFC's regulatory philosophy. Innovation is welcome, but only when tempered with discipline, structure, and investor safeguards. US SEC issues disclosure guidance for crypto asset offerings and registrations. On 10 April 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or US SEC, through its Division of Corporation Finance, published a detailed interpretive statement titled Offerings and Registrations of Securities in the Crypto Asset Markets. The statement provides comprehensive staff views on the application of existing federal securities law disclosure requirements to offerings and registrations of securities within the crypto asset markets. This initiative forms part of the US SEC's broader regulatory effort, led by Acting Chairman Mark T. Ujeda and the Crypto Task Force, to create a clear and consistent disclosure regime for market participants involved with crypto-related securities. The statement serves as a non-binding interpretive document outlining the expectations and common issues the division has observed in the review of United States Securities Act and Exchange Act filings. It aims to clarify applicable disclosure requirements for issuers engaged with crypto networks, decentralized applications, and crypto asset offerings, including tokens offered as part of or under an investment contract. While not a rule or regulation, the document is intended to assist registrants and their advisors in preparing compliant disclosures during the SEC's ongoing deliberations to formulate a broader regulatory framework for crypto assets. Definitions. For purposes of this statement, US SEC defines for the purpose of this statement as follows. Crypto asset is an asset that is generated, issued, and/or transferred using a blockchain or similar distributed ledger technology network, crypto network, including but not limited to assets known as tokens, digital assets, virtual currencies, and coins, and that relies on cryptographic protocols. A network refers to a crypto network, and references to application refer to an application running on such a crypto network. An application refers to a decentralized or blockchain integrated program. A subject crypto asset refers specifically to crypto assets offered under or as part of an investment contract. An on-chain transaction occurs directly on a network and is validated in accordance with the protocol of the network with the transaction recorded on the network's public ledger. An off-chain transaction occurs outside the network where the parties agree that a third party will validate and authenticate the transaction. Background and disclosure observations. The guidance identifies recurring areas of concern and interpretive ambiguity relating to existing federal disclosure forms, including Form S-1, Form 10, Form 20-F for foreign private issuers, and Form 1-A under Regulation A. It specifically addresses the treatment of disclosures in business descriptions, risk factors, rights of security holders, technical attributes of securities, and director-officer-related disclosures in the context of crypto-focused issuers. In business descriptions, the division recommends tailoring narrative disclosures to describe material aspects of a crypto issuer's operations, such as network development status, governance, intended utility of the token, and related revenue models. For technical aspects, the issuer should disclose the network's architecture, consensus mechanisms, licensing terms, security features, and transaction processing details, including gas fees and block size. In terms of securities descriptions, issuers are expected to address features including voting rights, redemption terms, transaction mechanics, and custodial arrangements. Disclosure should also cover supply control mechanisms, minting protocols, and whether the issuer retains discretion over token economics, timeline, and legal objective. This staff statement, issued on 10th April 2025, aligns with the US SEC's ongoing initiative to enhance regulatory clarity in the crypto asset domain, especially following the establishment of the Crypto Task Force earlier this year on 21st January 2025. By formally codifying the division's observations and expectations, the US SEC aims to ensure that disclosures in crypto asset offerings meet the investor protection, market transparency, and capital formation objectives of the United States Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. In legal terms, the statement draws from foundational jurisprudence such as SEC versus W.J. Howey Co. and United Housing Foundation versus Foreman, which establish the principles for assessing whether an instrument is a security and what constitutes sufficient economic disclosure. As emphasized, form should be disregarded for substance, and the emphasis should be on economic realities underlying a transaction and not on the name appended thereto. 421 U.S. 837, 849, 1975. Issuers and practitioners are encouraged to consult with the Division's Office of Chief Counsel or the SEC's Office of the Chief Accountant to address any uncertainties in application, especially for novel crypto instruments. For more information or submission of interpretive requests, market participants can contact the Division via the official SEC portal. U.S. SEC disclosure guidance signals shift towards clarity in crypto asset offerings. On 10th of April 2025, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC, took a significant step towards regulatory transparency with the Division of Corporation Finance's release of a detailed interpretive statement on offerings and registrations of securities in the crypto asset markets. Commissioner Hester M. Pierce, in a public statement titled "Let's Talk Disclosure," welcomed the development as part of the agency's investor protection mission. While the guidance does not attempt to redefine whether a crypto asset qualifies as a security, it provides practical compliance-focused insight on the nature and scope of disclosures required under federal securities laws when securities are offered or registered in connection with crypto networks, applications, and related operations. This development marks a crucial moment for regulatory certainty in the digital asset space. As the crypto industry continues to mature, the absence of tailored disclosure frameworks has been a long-standing concern. The statement does not resolve the broader interpret 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 USSEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw calls for regulatory clarity and governance readiness at AI Roundtable in Washington, D.C. On 27 March 2025, United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC Commissioner, Caroline Crenshaw delivered a speech at the USSEC's Roundtable on Artificial Intelligence in the Financial Industry held in Washington, D.C. USSEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw discussed the urgent need for greater definitional clarity, robust governance structures, and regulatory foresight as artificial intelligence, or AI, continues to transform the financial ecosystem. Commissioner Crenshaw revisited tit USSEC Acting Chairman Mark T. Uyeda urges technology-neutral approach at Artificial Intelligence Roundtable. On 27 March 2025, Acting Chairman of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC, Mark T. Uyeda, delivered the keynote address at the Commission's Roundtable on Artificial Intelligence in the Financial Industry, held in Washington, D.C., addressing an audience comprising in-person and virtual participants, USSEC. Acting Chairman Mark T. Uyeda discussed the USSEC's commitment to informed, innovation-supportive regulation, particularly in the face of rapidly evolving artificial intelligence, or AI, technologies across financial markets. USSEC Acting Chairman Mark T. Uyeda began by placing the current discourse on AI within a broader historical context. He noted that the integration of emerging technologies into U.S. financial markets is not unprecedented, referencing earlier innovations such as the stock ticker machine, telephone networks, and electronic trading systems. According to him, the capacity to adopt and adapt to new technologies has been a key driver in maintaining 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 driver in maintain 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 driver in artificial fears and human intelligence. USSEC Commissioner Hester M. Pierce advocates a thoughtful, human-centered approach to AI regulation. On 27 March 2025, at the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC Roundtable, on Artificial Intelligence in the Financial Industry, held in Washington, D.C., U.S., SEC, Commissioner Hester M. Pierce delivered a speech on the fast-evolving role of AI in finance. Commissioner Pierce, beginning with a warm thanks to the staff of the USSEC's Division of Economic and Risk Analysis and fellow organizers, as well as the diverse panel of experts participating in the roundtable. The industry, she stated, has a long history of welcoming disruptive tools from the stock ticker to terminals and now faces the exciting, if complex, challenge of integrating artificial intelligence. The question, she implied, is not whether AI belongs in finance, but how we choose to understand and shape its presence. With a deliberate caution against alarmist rhetoric, USSEC, Commissioner Hester M. Pierce criticized what she termed artificial fears around AI, drawing a clear line between legitimate regulatory oversight and reactionary USSEC's Commissioner Hester Maria Pierce's The Mother speech, USSEC's willingness to embrace innovation while confronting jurisdictional hurdles in U.S. crypto regulation. On 11 April 2025, United States Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC Commissioner, Hester Maria Pierce delivered her opening remarks titled The Mother at the second session in an ongoing series of roundtables convened to address regulatory challenges and opportunities in the crypto asset market. Speaking from Washington, D.C., Commissioner Hester Maria Pierce opened the discussion by thanking USSEC staff, market participants, and members of the public who had engaged with the crypto task force. She appreciated the diverse institutional participation in the roundtable, which comprises national securities exchanges, alternative trading venues, and crypto-native firms. Commissioner Hester Maria Pierce stated that successful markets are marked by the capacity to support a wide array of business models and approaches to trading. She emphasized that the regulatory framework governing crypto asset markets in the United States must not hinder flexibility and innovation. Instead, it should foster competition, expand investor choice, and reflect the evolutionary nature of decentralized and centralized platforms alike. Her opening made clear that legal clarity must not come at the cost of market experimentation and technical progress. Addressing one of the central technical issues, Commissioner Hester Maria Pierce turned to the emerging interest among market participants in conducting pairs trading, i.e. trading securities, against crypto assets, such as stablecoins. While she clarified that United States SEC rules do not expressly prohibit this, she noted that traditional securities regulations, particularly those concerning record-keeping, reporting, and the national market system, do not yet as 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 yet
MIAX Sapphire advances rule change with USSEC to launch options on VanEck Spot Bitcoin ETF on 15th April 2025, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or USSEC, published a notice of proposed rulemaking, file number SR Sapphire 2025-18, submitted by MIAX, Sapphire LLC, seeking approval to amend Exchange Rule 402 to permit the listing and trading of options on the VanEck Bitcoin Trust. This filing represents a significant step in broadening access to regulated crypto
Tied to rip, 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 tied to rip
UKFCA marks operational resilience. Deadline: regulated firms must now embed resilience as a strategic imperative. On 15th April 2025, Suman Ziaula, Head of Technology, Resilience and Cyber at the United Kingdom Financial Conduct Authority, or UKFCA, offered a forward-looking perspective on the future of operational resilience, following the sector-wide compliance deadline of 31st March 2025. UKFCA concluded the final stage of its operational resilience framework, reaffirming that the journey now moves beyond compliance into cultural transformation. In a reflective commentary, which underlined that while regulated firms have met the mandatory deadline, the true test lies in how well they anticipate and respond to disruptions that could cause intolerable harm to consumers and markets. The message is clear that the operational resilience must now be integrated into the very design, strategy, and governance structures of firms and not treated merely as a regulatory raincoat. Ziaula, through a metaphor of being caught unprepared in the rain, emphasized that operational resilience is not about
preventing out, 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 preventing
preventing out